won't mention the name. And when I got there, my host says he wants to take me to a place called the City of the Dead. It is a graveyard where many of the soldiers who died during the Second World War were buried. And on each grave was a slab. And some people will build a little tent around each slab, and that is where they live. So once a year, when people come to pay respect to those who died, who are buried there, these people will move out of their tent. People will come, lay flowers. As soon as those people are gone, they move back. They were living in the graveyard. That's why they are called the City of the Dead. So it doesn't matter how bad where you are living today may be. It's still not as bad as that. So I want you to lift your hands to the Almighty God and thank Him. Even though you are a tenant, thank Him that at least you are living in a house, you are not living in a graveyard, your situation is not that bad. Bless the name of the Lord. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him adoration. You are not living in the graveyard. You are not sleeping on the burial ground of somebody else. You are not in the city of the dead. Bless His holy name. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him adoration. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Father, I want to thank You. Whatever may be my present situation, things could be much, much worse. So I thank You. I thank You that I have somewhere to lay my head. Every night, I bless Your holy name. I bless Your holy name. I bless Your holy name. Thank You, Savior. Thank You, Almighty God. I bless Your holy name that I'm not living in the graveyard. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. 1975, for the first time, I went with a senior pastor to Kirikiri prison to go and minister to the prisoners there. When we finished ministering and we were about to leave, they asked one of the prisoners to pray. He thanked God for everything. He thanked God for the service. And then he prayed for those of us who came. He said, well, they are going, go with them. And those of us who have to go to bed at 5 p.m., don't forget us here. No matter how little your house, no matter how small your accommodation, it's not a prison. You can go in anytime you want. You can come out anytime you want. Please thank the Almighty God for where you are living. Thank Him that today you are not in prison. You can sleep when you want. You can wake up when you want. You can go out when you want. You can come in when you want. Let us thank Him. Let's bless His holy name for freedom. No matter how little the accommodation, no matter where it is located, in the part of town. It may not be in the best part of town, but it is still not a prison house. Bless his holy name for it. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we are not in prison. Thank you for freedom to move in and out of our little houses, our little accommodation, little rooms, in whatever section of the town it may be in. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I visited a very wealthy man in an hospital. He was in a very special room. Everything that he could need was there. But he said something. He said, "This place has the smell of an hospital. Your house is not an hospital. It hasn't got the smell of an hospital." While we are praying for those who are sick to be healed today, those who are in prison to come out, let's thank God that we are not in the hospital today. Let's bless his holy name. Thank him. Thank him. We don't appreciate what we have until we lose it. Thank him. I woke up in my room this morning. I came to church from my house this morning, not from the hospital. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for health. Thank you for freedom. Thank you that whatever may be the situation, I am still coming to your house this morning from my own little accommodation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We are giving you glory. We are asking you to have mercy on those who are in hospital. Bring them out very soon. We are asking you to have mercy on those who are in prison. Don't forget them there. Rescue them. Set them free. But thank you, Lord, for freedom. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Finally, we are going to thank God, because you can only be talking about whether you are tenant or landlord as long as you are alive. The dead don't talk about such things. Thank him that you are not dead. Thank him that you are alive. Thank him for what he's done for you since the beginning of the year, for keeping you alive. Thank him. Dead people don't talk about building houses. Nobody wants to know whether you are a tenant or you are a landlord when you are dead. The dead are just dead. Thank him that, thank you, Father, I'm not dead. Thank you, I'm still alive. Thank you, when there is life, there is hope. I bless your holy name, Lord. I bless your holy name, Lord. I know that as long as I'm alive, there is hope for me. There's hope of a great future. Blessed be your holy name, the Ancient of Days. Thank you for all you've done for me in the past. Thank you for keeping me alive. Thank you for putting the devil to shame. I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you adoration. Only the living can praise you like I'm doing today, Lord. Thank you for keeping me alive. Thank you for keeping me alive. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Glory be to your holy name. Ancient of Days, glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, don't let tenants die as tenants. Build houses for them. And let it be well with the landlords too. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Please, Lord, don't let tenants die as tenants. Build houses for them. Almighty God, build houses for them. Let them become landlords too. And bless the landlords, oh Lord. Thank you for landlords. Thank you for letting them provide accommodation for those of us who don't have houses yet. Bless the landlords. And please, Lord God Almighty, don't let tenants die as tenants. Build houses for them. Provide for them, O Lord. Glorify your holy name. Mighty name, we have prayed. Now, if there's anything you want God to do for you in the month of April, lift your voice to Him and talk to Him about it. Tell Him what you want Him to do for you this special month of April. Thank you that we are not living in the graveyard. Thank you. you that today we are not in prison. Thank you that we are not in an asylum. Thank you that no matter how little our accommodation, we came alive and well from there today. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, we commit all tenants into your hands. Please, Lord, don't let them die as tenants. Build houses for them. Let them also become landlords. As our present landlords, Father, bless them. Continue to prosper them. If they don't know you, Father, save their souls. Everywhere where we are living, let your light shine. And all the miracles your children have asked for, before the sun sets today, give unto them. All your children who have been faithful, Lord, in the payment of their tithes and giving of their offerings, Father, this month, embarrass them with your blessings. The kind of blessing that they will say, God, this is too much, give unto them. Let this month be very successful. Let this month be very glorious. Wherever we go this month, let us find favor with God. Let us find favor with men. Let there be no problems at all. All those who are sick, Lord God Almighty, who are in hospital this morning, even before the end of this week, discharge them all. Those who are in prison, Father, please don't forget them there. Change their lives. Release them. Give them a new beginning. And if you delay your coming next month, let our joy be greater than this. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And somebody shout hallelujah. Well, shake hands with one or two. We'll tell them very soon you come and help me dedicate my house. And if you believe that, shout a big hallelujah. And then you may please be seated. Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. And while you are opening your Bibles, I don't know if your pastor told you that if his congregation does not double by the convention, he will be asked politely to resign from the church. Maybe they didn't tell you. And we are going to assess the progress this month. If we haven't seen any major improvement, he will get a letter of warning. So it's up to you, because you are the one who could make it happen. I've said all you need to do is bring a soul to Jesus Christ. If you bring just one fellow to Christ in a month, you will double in a month. So if you can't win a soul in a year, there's something wrong with you and something is wrong with your pastor. So we will change the one that can be changed, and that is your pastor. And we won't move him to somewhere so he won't go and cause more trouble there. We'll just ask him to go and start his own ministry. And I'm not joking, you know, when I speak, they say that people don't take me serious because I don't shake when I'm talking. I say it gently because that's the way God does his talking. So if you really love your pastor, you better begin serious soul winning from today. God bless you all. Now, Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. When we're talking about becoming a landlord, because that's the desire of every tenant, and in the mighty name of Jesus, you will become landlords. Some people may say, well, but Lagos is already full of houses. Somebody said something like that in 1975. He said, there are too many cars in Lagos. That's why we have traffic jam. And one fellow said, don't say so again because I've not bought my own car yet. So if you think there are too many cars in Lagos, you wait till I get my own before you say there are too many. If you say there are too many houses in Lagos, don't repeat it when I'm near. Wait till I have built my own. How many of you will become landlords? And so shall it be in Jesus' name. But when it comes to the possibility of building houses, there are several possibilities. Possibility number one is that somebody may never build one. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 18 to 19. 1 Kings 8, verse 18 to 19. David wanted to build a house for God. Not for himself now. He wanted to build a house for God. And God said, no way. I'm not going to allow you to build it. And then somebody may start a house and may never finish. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. Genesis 11, verse 1 to 8. It tells us that the people gathered together. They wanted to build a big house, a tower that will reach up to heaven. And God looked down from heaven and said, hey, look at what these people try to do. And they are all united. They have one language. I'm not going to let them finish this house. I will scatter them. We'll chain their tongues. They won't be able to understand each other or one another. And then the house will never be finished. And the house was never finished. And I've seen cases like that, even in my little years here. I remember one case very well in my little village. A very rich man saw a poor man's land and decided he was going to build on it. The poor man reported to the local government police, as we call them in those days, we call them Akoda. This man is building on my house. The rich man settled the Akoda, and the Akoda said, if you get near there, I will arrest you. I'm talking of 1950 something. It was in the days of the British. So the rich man took a poor man's land and began to build. The poor man said, no problem, I have no money, but I know what to do. The day they roofed the house, the poor man, who happens to be occultic, got a little charm, put it by the foundation of the house. By the following morning, there were cracks from top to bottom everywhere on the wall, so they had to pull down the walls. The rich man started again. This poor man waited till he has roofed. He put whatever it is he put. There were cracks all the way down. That house was never built. That land is still vacant in my village up to today. So it is possible to start a house and never finish. And then, of course, there is possibility number three, and that is to build a house and not live in it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 30. Deuteronomy 28, verse 30 says that some people, when God is angry with them, they will build a house and never inhabit it. And I'm sure, as young as many of you are, you know that there are some people who built houses and never inhabited it. Money for the building, he was siphoning some money to go and build a house for himself in his own town. We divert some of the cement and so on and so forth. And God kept on watching. He finished building the house just before he dedicated the land that he was building on. Somebody came and said, "That land belongs to my father." He said, "But I've already bought the land from so and so." Well, collect your money. He said, "All right, tell me how much." Because the house was already there. Beautiful building. "Tell me how much you want me to pay." That fellow said, "I'm not selling my land." "Move your house. It's the land I need." And I'm telling you a true story. That house is still in Elisha today. Unoccupied. The man said, "I am not selling my land, and you can come and live in this house." That house is finished, but never occupied. I'm praying for all of you here today. All these cases I've mentioned will never be your portion. And then, of course, there is the possibility of building a house and moving in only to have problems upon problems upon problems. And then you discover the problems began when I moved into this house. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 1. Proverbs 17 verse 1 tells us, he says, "Better is a dry muscle with quietness than a house full of slaughtered animals and strife with it." In other words, there are situations where the house may be full of all kinds of beautiful things, furniture, food, and it will be full of sorrow, full of problems. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, "It is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and added no sorrows." There are houses that are haunted. Houses where demons will go ahead even before the landlord will come and take possession. And I give you examples. You see, I keep giving all these examples because by the grace of God, I've had so many experiences. When we wanted to start our first model parish in Ife, so that you know these are true stories, that's why I'm mentioning the name of towns. We found a house, very beautiful, very strategically located, and when we said we wanted to rent, they gave it to us very cheaply. We didn't know why it was so cheap. The day we were going there, they asked me to come and see, to come and visit, I met a big cobra at the door. As we opened the door, the cobra was there. Of course, we killed the cobra. And I said, "Well, devil, you are out of this place. We are moving in now." So my pastor moved in. We were using the large living room as church. And pastor was living upstairs. And the pastor would say every night, he will hear somebody open the door and close it. I said, "I locked the door downstairs." He will come downstairs, the door will be locked. As he's going upstairs, he will hear the door opening and closing. He will come down, and the door was locked. So he said, "Daddy, I don't know about this house." So we had to go and do a little bit of deliverance. There are houses like that, where people go in and they get out. So they told us, the reason it's so cheap is that nobody, he said, your case is different. You have stayed 6 months before you complained. Nobody stays 6 weeks here. That's why it's so cheap. If there are demons in any of the houses where you are living, I command them to get out this month. But if your ways please God, He can build a house for you. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 to 21, Exodus 1, 15 to 21, when Pharaoh said to the Hebrew midwives that whenever a Hebrew woman is about to deliver and the baby is a boy, kill the boy. If it's a girl, let the girl live. The Bible said the Hebrew midwives feared God. And so they refused to do what the king said. They were risking their lives, but they refused to carry out an order that they know is contrary to the will of God. The Bible said, because the midwives pleased God, He built houses for them. I'm praying for someone here today that, just like the testimony I had before I came here, maybe the fellow who shared the testimony, came last year and for the tenants and so on, and today is landlord. I'm praying that by next year, the testimonies will be many. And then the Almighty God can cause you to build and live in it. He can provide for you. He can supply your needs. And so that you can go ahead on your own and build a house. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 12 to 18. Deuteronomy 8, verse 12 to 18. He said God can help you build a house and then cause you to live in it, enjoy it. So there's a possibility that God can do that. And then finally, there is a possibility that God can build a house, furnish it, and give it to you for free. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 13. He said, God can get you a house, fill it with goodly things, a house you didn't build, furniture, treasures you didn't put in there, and just hand it over to you. He's done it before. He can do it again. Now I will give you one testimony you've had again and again, and give you one you probably haven't had before. You will remember the case of one New Year Eve here in the Butte Meta. And I was preaching like this when God spoke to me and said, by the New Year, somebody in the congregation was having difficulty paying his house rent. By the New Year, he will be a landlord. Only one fellow said amen. And the fellow who said amen was a messenger in the office who was having problem paying his house rent. New Year came. I mean, the reason people didn't say amen was, they look at themselves, this is Lagos. Landlord, within 1 week, how is that going to happen? The New Year came, and the boy went to the office, saw the chairman of the company, prostrated before him, Happy New Year, sir. Said, and the chairman looked at him and said, messenger, Happy New Year. Did I give you a Christmas present? The boy said, no, sir. What about New Year present? No, sir. I said, okay. Lagos State was selling some houses. I bid it for one. I want it. I don't need it. Come and take the keys. Of course, the boy couldn't believe his ears, but he collected the key and he was thinking that it would be one little flat somewhere. But he went to the address and saw that it was a whole house. He put the key in, the door opened, he went inside, he went upstairs, he thought he was dreaming. So the following day, he came to the office again, saw the chairman. If you were to say, what would you do? He was on his face, he rolled to the right, he rolled to the left. And the chairman said, "Oh, by the way, is there any furniture in the house?" The boy said, "No, sir." The chairman said, "I change my furniture every Christmas. The one of last year, I don't know where to put them." So he called one of the drivers and said, "Go and load my furniture of last year and take it to this boy's house." It is a true story. Some of you here, you know the fellow I'm talking about. That's one case. Then there's another one. This one happens to concern a pastor, so I believe the pastor said I will listen very well. A pastor got a phone call. "Are you pastor so and so?" He said, "Yes." "You live where you are, such and such a place?" "Yes." "I want you to come and see me immediately." "Why?" "Just come." So he came. And when he arrived, he saw a big mansion with gates. You have to travel almost 100 meters before you get to the house. And when he got to the house, the man said, "God told me to give you this house." The pastor said, because he couldn't imagine himself leaving. He said, "Please take this house and tell your God to leave me alone." There is somebody here who is in for a surprise. Maybe you thought I was joking when I asked you to shake hands with two or three people and tell them they will soon come to help you dedicate your house. Now, I don't joke with such things. That's a very dangerous prophecy. You want to do it again now? "You will soon come and dedicate my house." Amen and amen. You see, when we are talking about God, I've told you again and again, stop using your little brain to try to understand Him. If He says He wants to do something, don't sit down and begin to say, "How can it be? What method?" No, leave that alone. It's God. It's not mine. You know my story. I was living in a room in Motion when I was praying in 1981, "Lord, please, just build me a boy's quarter." Because my wife and children, I left them behind in the lorry. They want to come and join me. "Build me a boy's quarter. One room for me and my wife, one room for the boy, one room for the girl, and one room for visitors. Boy's quarter in Mushin." And he says, "Son, don't ask me for a house. I've decided to build you a city." It didn't make sense. Has he fulfilled his promise? He has never failed before. He's not going to fail you. The only thing is that your ways must please him. It's a God to be feared, a God to be loved, a God to be served. When a man's ways please God, it will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. In conclusion, Jesus Christ said to the disciples in John 14, verse 1 to 3. John 14, verse 1 to 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. A place prepared for you. Among the mansions. So when I finish, then I'll come for you. Now some of you will say, oh, but that's talking about when we get to heaven. Yes, that is true. But if he's able to provide a mansion in heaven, he can provide one here. I'm talking from my own life experiences. The first time we went to America in 1979, my father in the Lord, myself and four others, we wanted to travel to Tulsa. We knew nobody there. We wanted accommodation. So we phoned. They said accommodation for that conference, every hotel had been fully booked. I said to my people, let's go. If God says he can provide a mansion in heaven, he can get me a room in Tulsa. Let's go. We jump into the plane. We arrive there. And somebody met us at the airport. And they started phoning every hotel 1 hour driving distance away. And they all say, fully booked, fully booked. I said to the fellow, why are you phoning 1 hour driving distance away? We had no cars. Phone at the hotel that is nearest to the center so that we can trek. He laughed. Just tell them we are missionaries from Africa. So he phoned. Do you have a room for missionaries from Africa? He said, a room. And that boy said, yes. He said, yes, I can give you a room. I said, good. Ask him for two. Say two rooms, because I was thinking Papa and somebody would stay in one room. The rest of us will crowd ourselves into the second room. Can you give us two rooms? He said, where do you say you are from? We said, we are from Africa. He said, I can give you two rooms. Okay. And then they sent a bus to pick us up. We landed. While we were filling the form, I said, ask him, are you sure you can give us three rooms? He said, I will give you three rooms. The God I serve, he will make room for you. But if you build all the houses in this world and you die a sinner, you will go to hell. There will be many landlords in hell. Not because they are landlords, but because they refuse to surrender their life to Jesus. There will be people who may not even have any house at all, and they will have a mansion in heaven. The difference is, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Are you a child of God? Because if you are not a child of God, it doesn't matter how many houses you have. It's not going to matter at all. I remember very well a friend of mine who gave his life to Jesus Christ in his old age. He had a house with 39 bedrooms. But the day he gave his life to Jesus Christ, he said, now I thank God. Up to this moment, he said, I'm a tenant. Now that I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I'm a landlord. Because not only do I have a house in this world, I have one waiting for me in heaven. Are you a child of God? Have you surrendered your life to him? Because that's going to make the difference. Because it doesn't matter how old you get. By the time you are about 140 in this world, they'll be begging you to die. In heaven, we are there forever. Be sure of your mansion in heaven. That's more important than anything else. So if you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, come. Come and stand before me. Let me pray for your salvation. And the moment he saves your soul, you become a landlord in heaven. So I'm counting now. One. If you want to give your life to Jesus, God bless you, my son. You're most welcome. God bless you, sir. You're welcome. I'm going to count from 1 to 7. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, come very quickly. 2. Yes, you can become a landlord, even in heaven, right away, from the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ. From that moment, there's a mansion waiting for you in heaven. It's a settled matter. 3. Yes, open the door for those who may want to come from outside. Come in quickly. Those of you in the gallery, hurry up. 4. Thank you, Father. Let them move a little forward. Let them move a little forward. Please draw closer. Draw closer. Thank you, Jesus. Keep clapping, those of you who are clapping. You will soon be dedicating your house. So keep clapping for Jesus. 5. This is your day of salvation. The Lord is calling you. Come and surrender your life to Him. Come quickly. Come quickly. Anyone else coming from outside, come quickly. Come quickly. Let this day be your own day of joy, your day of salvation. 6. Thank you, Father. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Now, those of us who are already in front, let's talk to the Almighty God and ask Him to be merciful unto us. Ask Him to save our souls. Ask Him to make us His children, so that we too can have mansions in heaven. Let's talk to the Almighty God. God, save my soul, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Forgive all my sins, and I will always do your will. The rest of us, let's stretch our hands to these people and intercede for them. Pray for them that the Almighty God who saved your soul will save their own souls also. Pray that God will forgive all their sins and give them a brand new beginning. And anyone who still wants to come, you are not late yet. Please hurry up. Hurry up. Let this day be your day of salvation. Thank you, Father. Let's intercede for these people for another 1 minute. Let's wish them well. That the Almighty God will save their souls. That He will forgive all their sins. That He will give them a brand new beginning. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Ancient of Days, I want to thank you for your word. You are the original landlord. I want to thank you. For the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. I'm committing this, your children, to hand. They have come forward today, please receive them. Save their souls. Forgive all their sins. Wash them clean with your blood. Write their names in the book of life. Please, Lord, reserve their mansions also. From today onward, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire. Lord God Almighty, I pray that all of us who are here today, one way or the other, see to it that we make it to heaven in Jesus' name. Children, the moment will be crying to you, but we don't want to leave this world as tenants. We want to become landlords as a. Please answer our cries in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father, my Father. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And those of you who have come forward, I want to rejoice with you. Because from now, by God's grace, I will pray for you. So I'm going to give your names, your address, and your prayer request. I promise you, I will pray for you. God bless you. And I want you to stay where you are now to be part of the final prayers. The rest of us, are we ready to pray? Let's stand on our feet and shout a big hallelujah. We're going to ask God not only for your own house, but in a peaceful house, a house of joy, a house where God will be dwelling, a house where everything will just be wonderful. So lift your voice to Him and say, Father, build a house for me. And let it be a house full of joy, full of peace, a house where I will serve you. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God.